I'm Dan Dietrich, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Wayland. I've been preaching through the book of Galatians over the past several Sundays, elaborating on Paul's defense of the gospel of grace against the Judaizers who were legalists and who would have added works to grace. Last Sunday, I preached on the phrase from chapter 5 and verse 4, "Ye are fallen from grace." This phrase is lifted from its context by possibly well-meaning teachers who use it as a proof text to supposedly prove that a saved person can, after all, lose his salvation. Of course, this is bad doctrine and is not supported by the bulk of Scripture. I spent most of my time last Sunday examining the context of Galatians 5:1-7 to show you that the context of those verses does not support the thought that a saved person can fall from grace. And at the close of the broadcast, I promise to show you this week a variety of scriptures that verify the truth of eternal life for the believer, as well as three truths that once you come to understand them, you'll never doubt your salvation again, that is, if you're truly saved. Before I get into those verses, let me remind you that the context of Galatians 5 is simple. Paul set forth two systems of thought, or two systems of teaching, law and grace. The Judaizers followed the system of teaching the law. Christians followed the system of teaching grace. Paul was not saying that the Galatians had lost their salvation. He was saying that they had fallen from a higher system of teaching, that is the system of grace, to a lower system of teaching, that is the system of law. And when they had gotten saved by repentance of sin and faith in Jesus Christ, they had accepted the teachings of grace. However, under the influence of the Judaizers, the legalists, they had been impressed with the fact that maybe, just maybe, they did need to be circumcised to be saved. Or perhaps they had not accepted circumcision as a condition of salvation, but instead they had wondered if maybe, just maybe, they might need circumcision to please the Lord in their Christian walk. Either way, they had fallen from grace to a lower system of teaching, the law. So, the context doesn't support the doctrine that a saved person can lose his salvation. Well, what about those other scriptures? Well, let me lead you on a little journey through the Gospel of John. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." No mention of a saved person being lost there. Those who believe upon the only begotten Son of God have eternal life. Scripture's plain. Faith is the only condition, not faith and works, faith and faith alone. John 3:18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." There you have it again. Believing on the Son averts condemnation. Not believing on the Son brings condemnation. John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." There it is again. Believing on the Son brings everlasting life. Not believing on the Son brings the wrath of God. And what does everlasting life mean? I'm pretty sure that it means everlasting, that it means eternal, that it means forever. John 5:24, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." There it is again. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. He shall not come into condemnation, but he's passed from death into life. What an assurance. John 6:47, Jesus said, and this is so simple, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." There it is again. Believing on the Son brings everlasting life. And what is everlasting life? It's eternal life. It's life forever in the presence of Christ. It's life that cannot be ended, life without end. And the only condition is faith, not works, but faith. John 10:27-30, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. What a powerful passage. Jesus makes this promise to his sheep, or to those who follow him. Obviously, he's talking about those who have registered their faith in him in such a way that their walk evidences it. But look at what he promises, eternal life. They shall never perish. No man shall pluck them out of his hand. No man can pluck them out of the Father's hand. Why? Because he, that is the Father, gave believers to the Son in the first place. Jesus, in John 17, refers to believers in six different places as those whom thou hast given me. Praise the Lord. Believers are God's love gift to his Son, and nobody, not even Satan, can take them out of his hand. Did John ever change his opinion? Well, listen to his epistle written a few years later. He said, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." John made some really simple statements here. He said, God hath given to us eternal life. Who is us? Well, by context, us is all who believe on the Son. And again, the only condition is faith. Then he clarified, this life is in his Son. It's not in baptism, in joining a church, in obeying the golden rule, or in living a good life. Whatever it is in his Son. Then he clarified even further, he that hath the Son hath life. What kind of life? By context, eternal life. And just in case you didn't get the simplicity of that statement, he added, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. In other words, the condition of eternal life rests solely on whether one has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior or not. And you can't get any plainer or simpler than that. Paul concurred with John. Listen to him in Acts 13. He said, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified in the law of Moses." All that believe are justified from all things. Now granted, this verse doesn't mention eternal life, but it does tell us the who and the what. The condition is faith, and faith alone. And justification is the act whereby God declares a man to be righteous in his sight based upon the merits of Christ Jesus that are imputed to him by faith when he repents of his sin and receives Jesus as Lord and Savior. And this is a permanent standing. It's not a fluctuating state. It's a standing that involves the past, present, and the future. The implication is huge. The implication is that a man who's been justified in the eyes of God has eternal life. For a man to believe and or teach that a saved man can lose his salvation is to imply that God cannot finish what he began. Listen to Romans 8:28 through 30. Paul said, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Man, everybody loves that verse when things aren't going well, but the context is usually ignored completely. We focus on all things work together for good, but ignore the statement to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. In the very next verse, Paul lays out God's purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Do you see the divine purpose? There's a divine order. God first foreknew, then he predestinated, then he called, then he justified, then he glorified. This is God's divine purpose, and he will finish what he started. My friend, if God called you by conviction of sin and by convincing you that Jesus is the Christ, if he truly called you, then he justified you, and he will not fail in the last day to glorify you. Knowledge of God's divine purpose is why Paul was so confident as to say, "For I know whom I believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Now, the last verse I'll show you is Jude 24 and 25. Jude says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God and our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." Now, about this time, some precious brother will always say, yes, pastor, but I know this guy who got saved and continued faithful for a while. And then he lost his joy, backslid, fell away. He did some terrible things and embarrassed the name of Jesus and the name of the church. Don't tell me he's still saved. Well, first of all, I won't tell you he was saved. He was probably a counterfeit from the get-go. Jesus himself said there are some really good imposters, people who call him Lord, Lord, people who have in some cases prophesied, cast out demons, and even worked miracles. But in the end, Jesus will say to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." Listen, nobody who believes the doctrine of eternal security believes that you can get saved and then live any way you want to. We believe that a truly converted person will want to continue on, that is, to continue on in Christ, and will want to live a holy life. He may try and fail, but his desire will always be holiness. Nor do we believe that he can get away with not living a holy life. He will suffer much chastisement as consequences for his lack of holiness. Hebrews chapter 12 declares this all too clearly. But we do not believe that a genuinely saved person can ever, under any circumstances, lose his salvation. Not because we're trying to persuade ourselves that our erring brothers are going on to heaven after all, but because God's word teaches eternal security. Here's the problem. Too many folks are building their doctrine off of experience instead of Scripture. In every case, the guy who argues against eternal security starts with this phrase, "Yeah, but I knew a guy once." Listen, so did I. But we don't build our doctrine off of a guy I knew once. We build it off of Scripture. Well, here we are again, and my time is gone. I didn't get to those three truths. I'll present them next week. Three truths from Scripture that if you ever come to understand them, you'll never doubt your salvation again. Decide now to tune in next Sunday, Christmas Sunday, for those three magnificent truths. God bless you and have a wonderful Christmas season.
You've been listening to the broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Wayland, Missouri, with Pastor Dan Dietrich. If this program has been a blessing to you, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us through our website at www.fbcwayland.org or by giving us a call at 660-754-6312 or by dropping us a line at P.O. Box 281, Wayland, Missouri 63472. My friend, it's not yet 9 o'clock, and you still have time to get to church this morning. So why don't you decide right now that today you're going to make it to church? If you don't have a church home, let me invite you to visit us here this morning at First Baptist Church, located in Wayland, Missouri, on Highway B, just an eighth mile north of Highway 136. For directions to our church or to listen to more preaching, log on to our website, www.fbcwayland.org. Once again, that's www.fbcwayland.org.